To start some place, I think you should all just take a couple of minutes, just 2 minutes, just say who you are, what is your main viewpoint, and a little about what are your motives. Could we do that? Okay. So what? How about doing it from this side? So would you start, please?
I will. Thank you. My name is Anne-Grethe Holmsgaard. I'm a member of the Danish Parliament. What is relevant here is I'm a member of the Scientific Committee, which has responsibility for IT and telecommunication and a lot of other stuff. Well, that's about me. My main points: we need to have open standards. We know that ODF is a standard now. They're starting in Massachusetts, state of Massachusetts, to make it obligatory from the 1st of January next year. I've spoken to them. They have tested it through. I was previously a director of our technical university, so I have a lot of user experience with not open standards. My motives. Well, I think this is very much about competition. As it is now, we have in the public sector a de facto standard made by Microsoft. It means that we do not have any kind of competition. It means that we're losing a lot of money. It's not only in the state, it's also in the local authorities. And of course, we cannot just sit on our backsides and say, well, we don't mind. We really need competition. We need to have more companies that can get into this market and work on it, develop software on this market. We cannot accept that we have a de facto monopoly. So that's very short as a start. Thank okay. you. Was and, it too short?
No, that's
as
okay.
As a politician, I can go on.
It's perfect. But if you would ask, just think about it. You don't need to do it right now. But if you would ask one of the members of this panel a question, just think about it. What would it be? You don't need to do it now, but just
okay.
keep on mind.
I have one.
You have one question to use later. Okay, so let's go on to Anders.
Well, my name is Anders Nørskov, and I'm a corporate affairs manager in Microsoft Denmark. Let me start with say thank you for inviting me to this session on Linux Swarm. I think it's this kind of debate and dialogue is very valuable for us. I think what brings us together today is our passion for technology and our common objective to ensure interoperability in more and more diverse IT infrastructures. At the same time, I'm pretty sure that it's the same passion that will give us a very lively debate today. Let me start with establishing a simple fact. In Microsoft, we support open standards. We are firmly committed to open standards. We think that can be one of the tools to achieve interoperability. That may come as a surprise for some of you, and that's maybe because we have not been good enough to communicate this. This is why I will briefly talk about our Office Open XML format. Office Open XML format is a new XML format that will be introduced in Office 2007. It was formerly known as Office 12. The Office Open XML format will be default in the new Office version. In November 2005, we submitted the Office Open XML format to ECMA for standardization. The goal is to make Office Open XML an ISO standard, and we expect that the process will take about 1 year. The format will be open and royalty-free licensing, and you can download the specification from the ECMA homepage. Office 2007 will be released later this year, and at the same time, there will be released add-ons for Office 2000 and newer versions that will allow reading, writing, and saving in the new format. There will also be add-ins that can handle mass conversions of old documents. I think this is a great step towards interoperability. It's ensuring not only future data, but it also, and that's maybe the most important, secure a lot of the old data that is stored in the past. In fact, there's an immense wealth of information that is stored in Microsoft's Office formats. Millions of users have created documents, billions of documents, during the past 20 years. And I think it's a mandate, and a very reasonable one, that we secure backward compatibility with the old document formats. It's the number one customer demand. And if we don't secure that, it will be disruptive to a lot of our users and expose them to lots of critical information. I will end here by saying we support open standards. It's one of the ways to achieve interoperability. However, we do not believe that you should mandate a single standard. We think that open choice between different formats and standards and industry standards will be the best for consumers, industry, and for innovation. Thank you, and I look forward to a good debate.
We all do. And also, if you could think of a question to ask one of the others, maybe something that they will get a little pissed about. Maybe. Could we go on to Sun?
Okay.
Simon?
Hello, I'm Simon Phipps from Sun Microsystems. I'm Sun's chief open source officer, and I'm responsible for setting our open source strategy and for managing our rapidly growing open source software portfolio. And I talked about that at length just now in another room. Much more important here is I have an announcement that I'm able to make to this conference, first of all, which revolves around a new organization that formed at midnight last night, hosted by the SIIA, which is a global industry association. And I can announce that over 35 companies have come together to form an ODF alliance to promote the adoption of open document format for the use, particularly in government contexts, but anywhere else where it's necessary to protect people's document heritage. I'll tell you a little bit about open document and why it exists. Back in 2002, a number of us realized that we were heading into an era where, although we might have the end result of the thinking about where legislation had come from, none of the pathway to reach that place would actually still exist in the future, because it would either be stored on old media, or it would be stored in binary formats that were unreadable, or it would increasingly be wrapped up in DRM or platform-specific technologies, even if the format inside was open, that would not be able to be opened without violating laws like the European Copyright Directive. And so back in 2002, a number of entities, including the National Archive of Australia, Boeing, Sun, and several others, got together at the OASIS Standards Group to begin to devise an open format for office productivity documents. Just to note, what we didn't do was try and standardize an existing format. What we did was Sun donated some work in progress at StarOffice and OpenOffice on a new XML file format, and then OASIS evolved that with substantial changes to produce the open document format. Today, open document format is widely implemented. It's implemented in products from multiple vendors, including Sun and IBM. It's distributed and supported by companies like Novell and Red Hat, who've also joined the ODF Alliance. It's available in open source products like AbbeyWord and KOffice. It's available in innovative Web 2.0 applications like Writely. And it is the most widely adopted XML file format for Office applications that is available today. What OpenDocument is important for is in drawing a line across the industry and saying that we've had enough of competing on standards. This happened once before in the electricity industry over in the US. In the US, they had a big debate about which standards to use for electricity, and the existing monopolist at the time was Edison, and he tried to persuade people to use his proprietary standard for electricity, which was DC. And he did it by lobbying about how dangerous AC was by associating it with the electric chair and executions. But at the time, the citizens there said they'd had enough of competition over the voltage and the AC or DC of the current. And they drew a line across the industry and said, from now on, we're not going to tolerate competition on voltage or AC or DC. It's going to be 110 volts AC. And that started the appliance industry. And it started the whole world of electrical appliances that's come about in the US. The ODF Alliance is the same landmark. It's an aggregation, a diverse global aggregation, including organizations like the Technical University of Denmark, to propagate a baseline standard. It doesn't stop innovation. It's extensible. There are companies on this list that are already extending that format to do innovative things. But it says, we've had enough of being told to use file formats that are either closed, or if they're being opened, are being opened without the scope for change and reflect the internals of some proprietary product. no more competition on standards in this area. It's time for us to set a baseline, move forward, and innovate on that standard.
Okay. And
ODF Alliance.org, if you have your web browser there. And just to prove, okay. That, just to prove that it's not anti anything, it's actually built on top of IIS and using active server pages.
Okay. And if you would care to ask a question, just keep that in mind, and let's go on to Luis.
Hello, thanks again for attending this awesomely crowded conference. My name is Luis Suarez-Pas. I'm community manager of OpenOffice.org. And if you didn't hear my presentation, I can certainly send it to you. But essentially, I spoke on the importance of open source and open standards. OpenOffice.org is proud to be a member of the ODF Alliance that Simon just announced. We look forward to seeing successes here in Denmark and elsewhere in Europe. And we also look forward to people making rational choices. The main thrust of my argument was, and it bears repetition, is that now is the time actually to make a choice for standards that will work, not just now, but in the future. And that choice can be fearsome if there's a specter that you're afraid to cast off. So, thank you.
Okay. That was very that was very quick. Could you just elaborate a little bit on your motives as
My motives, when I think of open source, I almost think that in itself is a motive. My motives really are to encourage the production of an office suite that everyone can use, not just the elites. To have an environment where information created by anyone is available to everyone, not just the elites. The history that we've had so far has been where information created is increasingly available only to the elites. I think we've had enough of that. I think if you go anywhere in the world, the only kind of application people who are able to afford to read these documents are extraordinarily expensive. They're the elites. Microsoft Office will cost about $499. That is actually more than the yearly income of a great many people in this world. OpenOffice.org is free, gratis. You can download it for free. Migrating people to OpenOffice.org not only will save people money, but will allow them to take the heritage of mankind and use it for their own purposes, to create wealth that will enable their own environment to increase. We've had enough of the past. It's cost us a lot. It's time to look forward to the future that is free.
Okay, thank you. And then on to CERN. Okay. I think you should be balanced and fair, please. Okay, let's move on to CERN.
Well, yeah, my name is Søren Ting Pedersen, and I traveled here this morning by train over here, and I thought, what is my role in this panel? Am I an independent developer? Am I an open source contributor? Am I a consumer? Or am I a taxpayer? And I'm all of these things, but I guess the reason why I'm sitting here is because I've been involved in this open office in 2 or 3 years now. I've been part of a group of 20 people or so that dedicated to bringing this great office suite to Denmark and Danish users. Open office is now mainstream software in Denmark. And about a year ago, a public funded total cost of ownership report for the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation concluded that open office is a valid alternative, and you get lower cost altogether. OpenOffice is a mature suite for Linux users, Windows users, and Mac users, and Danish users. Mac users don't have a Danish office suite besides OpenOffice. So we have invested a lot of work in bringing this to Denmark, and now, since 2.0, we have also brought OSIS Open Document to Denmark, and that's another great contribution. So the public sector in Denmark is also interested in using OpenOffice, and the demand for open standard is increasing dramatically. However, these years Denmark is undergoing major changes. Municipalities are merged, and many public IT systems are locked into specific programs. That makes it very difficult to implement open standards in Denmark. So let's be clear, what OASIS has achieved with Open Document is an open standard that enables open competition. It lowers cost for data converting, and it builds bridges between systems from different vendors. And yeah, so this discussion we're having now is really about what blueprints should we use for the future infrastructure. And again, as always, the devil is in the details. So we have to be clear what we are trying to achieve with open standards. What I particularly like about OASIS Open Document is that it is developed and maintained by several vendors in a standard organization. Sun, Microsystem, IBM, Corel, Adobe, Novell, and OpenOffice and KOffice have contributed to this great standard. It is mature, it has been developed since 2002, it is public reviewed, and it is ratified since a year ago. It is built on other vendor independent standard technologies such as HTML and XForms. It is already supported in various products from various vendors. You name it, OpenOffice, StarOffice, KOffice, AbbeyWord, Scribus, TextMaker, Writely. So it's free to implement for all, not only open source products, any license, but also closed source products. So concluding, it is not designed for a specific application, it is designed for specific great documents. So to sum it up, Open Document, from my point of view, gives vendors as well as users a free choice of software and a free choice of strategy. Any Office suite is only a tool. The ultimate goal is a great document, and that is what OASIS is bringing.
Okay, so you should also think of a question. I've been trying to line up some complexes, and as I can hear you introduce yourself, I can hear this is not a debate on should we be open, because Microsoft says yes, we should be open, and all of you says yes. Okay, so it's not about that. It's about maybe should we be open in this way or that way. So I think there are maybe four angles on this, and I think we should go through them one at a time. So the first theme, and if you think your questions are relevant, use them. The first theme should be technology. Does this have anything to do with technology? Is there some element of technology in this? Does this mean anything if we do the Microsoft way or the other way? Does that influence technology in any way? Doesn't.
Couldn't you say what your three other themes are?
Okay, I will. It's economy, it's business, and it's politics. So let's start with technology, and let's not go into details about XML, this or that, or whatever you can think of. Don't do that, please. Just, yes. Let's. Anders was a little before you, so he gets okay. The first move.
Okay, let me first say that when I sat the car out here, I also wondered what my role should be, and I had not guessed that my role should be to promote electrical chairs and something like that. around technology, I think indeed there is some technology issues. I think it's very important to understand. But what we are doing is we are submitting the format for the next Office version to a standardization organization. It's going to be a completely open format. It's the thing that is really important to us is that this format will be backward compatible with the old formats.
What does that mean exactly? Can you just explain what that means?
Yes, I can explain that. Yeah. It means that our customers should be able to get 100% conversion of their documents until the new format. And that means that everything in that format, everything in that document shall be transferred to the new format. And that's extremely important for our customers.
Can you explain what that has to do with the document format? Because that seems to be an implementation detail of the software rather than to do with the document format.
I'm not a technician, but I can say that ODF is not designed to achieve that.
That was one of the design goals.
Yes, but I don't think you succeeded then.
Well, that's because you didn't join the committee.
Son hasn't joined ICMID, the committee.
Well,
I think that's a strange discussion, because basically my experience, the way that the ODF document was formed was basically based on the development that you had done in Sun. And basically it took that format to the committee. And if you look into the minutes from it's very clear that there's very limited changes.
See, I know that's Microsoft's view, and I've heard Microsoft say that in many forums, but if you actually ask independent bodies, they'll tell you that, first of all, there were over 100 substantial changes made to the document between November 2002 and today. They'll tell you that those changes were made keeping up with developments in XML technology. If you talk to the committee members, they'll tell you that one of their prime... They're not stupid. They know that most of the world's documents are in .doc format, and that one of the big challenges is going to be representing the concepts of a .doc document in XML. And so one of their specific design goals was to make that possible and, as far as possible, easy. The technical committee was formed at OASIS, of which Microsoft is a member of the board of directors, and indeed two Microsoft employees did show up to at least one of the meetings. At any point, Microsoft could have joined in and shaped ODF to become the document format of the future, but back in 2002, 2003, Microsoft had no interest in open standards for document formats. It's had an epiphany since then, possibly based on Massachusetts. The design goals of the open document format were to provide a compatibility vehicle, and as far as the people who designed it were able to, without any assistance from Microsoft and without any documentation for .doc, they've achieved it, and that's obvious in the fact that there are now multiple applications that can open .doc files and edit them and save them as XML.
But let's stay with this backward compatibility issue. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to ask a question, please go ahead and do that, bring it on.
I'd like to know why Microsoft didn't join the OASIS technical committee, because Microsoft's been very active in OASIS and the rest of the organization.
That's
the
question. Why didn't you join?
Well, the reason we didn't join was that we didn't find that the basis for the work was sufficient for our use. So that's basic. It wasn't the technology, the XML technology that we think we should use.
So it was an issue with what kind of XML? It's the flavor.
It's two very different design methods in the two formats.
Okay. So you say it's basically a technology issue. It's that going with the right way of XML.
No, it's the way the format is designed, and that's one thing. That's technology. The other thing is that for us, and for especially for our customers, it's imperative to secure backward compatibility. I think everybody can understand the responsibility we have to secure our customers to be able to move their documents in a safe way. And this is not about just having the funds standing in the right way. I mean, a lot of our customers, they have used the Office suite for very critical business purposes. There are billions of documents. They put a lot of stuff into it. And it's imperative for them that these documents can be converted in a safe way. And for companies, for example, under Oxbench regulation, it's imperative that they can do that. So I think it's a demand from our customers. It is extremely important.
But I think everybody will agree to that. The question burning on my tongue for that is, okay, so looking backwards, of course we should be able to open any old document that we have in any old format that exists. So the looking backward point The question burning is, why don't you just open your old standards so everybody can read their own files and see what's in them?
We issue our format now for the ECMA committee. It's completely open. It will be possible for anybody to use them and build.
But this new format is completely different from the old one, I think.
It's not basically it's built on the Office 2003 schemas.
Okay.
But of course it's very very different from the binary formats.
Okay. I think you, Anne-Grethe, had a question or something you'd say.
I'm definitely not a technician, but when I listen to you, Anders, I wondered, you're using the term our customers all the time. You're not saying the users. You're repeating it, our customers. Well, this is maybe not surprising because you're working for your company. But when I see it from the outside, my motives, well, I said economy and free competition when I started, I didn't take all the points. But my motives for this is also to have one standard. We're talking documents now, one document standard. I worked in the railway system for many years. There's a very good reason why the railway system cannot compete with buses. It's because they have a lot of competing standards. And it was never possible to make one standard. This is exactly the same we have, except that this is a much more important for all of us because this is our daily communication. So my question is, why, it's very close to Simon's, why do you not say, well, let's use open document format? It's already there. It's not, it's independent, which I think is very important. I mean, to have an open standard, it's important.
Okay, but let's stop there.
Yeah, why don't? Just to say, it has to be independent. It has to be a fair level playing here, a fair competition, not a standard which is actually one company's standard. So why do you not just say, well, of course we need open standards and we will go in for the ODF?
Well, first of all, let me say that the ECMA standard, ECMA organization is a standardization body, and the aim is to make it an ISO standard, and that's an open standard that is not owned by anybody. So on that level, it would be completely open. I think about why do we not support ODF. I think it's important, and I know that Simon will disagree with me now, but I think probably most in this room, but I think it's important to see that the ODF is not more independent than ECMA. It is a standard that is promoted by Sun and IBM. And I think that's important to understand. The other thing, the basically an Office suite is a very complicated type of application, and we in Microsoft, we simply don't believe that the ODF format will support the kind of innovation we make in our products. And I mean that's quite basic. We don't think that. And maybe it will evolve in time. I don't know. Maybe it will not.
Okay, but that's a technology.
That's a technology. I mean, that's a technology issue, and I mean, that's the way we look at it. And then you can come and say, well, we know you. We think we know your products better than you, and we disagree. But I mean,
some little detail going on down in those XML files may or may not do what you want to do with your applications. That's your point of view.
That's basically our point of view.
Okay, I don't know if your question is relevant to this. If it is, please go on and ask it.
It's about the backwards compatibility of Word files and other Microsoft Office files. I understand from Anders that you can't have backwards compatibility the ODF format to work for Word files, Excel files. if you can't change the old Word file to your JS format, but you can to your new XML format, does that mean that you can't change between your new XML format from Microsoft and the old JS format? Do you understand?
I understand the question. I think I'm aware that there's third-party products and add-ins which will make an effort to do this to convert to ODF, and I think that's great. But what is the point is for us? These products may or may not be perfect. I don't know, but. What's important for us is that we cannot lean on something that's not 100% perfect. We need to have exact
100% perfect. That's a lot.
Sorry.
Software.
Okay. So it's very important that this is 100% correct conversion.
Okay, Louis, you wanted to go in here.
Actually, I just wanted to underscore the point that you were making, which is a fair defense of Microsoft, that the reason why you were not supporting ODF and are not currently supporting ODF and rather are allowing third parties to provide that support is because Open Document Format, according to you, would not give the customers of Microsoft all the tools that they might be expecting either now or in the future. In other words, to invert that statement, is that once again Microsoft is really only interested in enclosing its customer base within the barriers of Microsoft so that they should not be able to move more or less out of it and to have some commerce with companies and products outside of those boundaried walls. And so the point of ODF, the point of open source on the other hand, is rather to allow people who are using the product, the application, to have commerce with other people. Open document format, the reason why it's standard is to allow that commerce, that communication, not to force people to work within boundaries.
Okay, I think Simon, you wanted to say something.
Well, yes, I was actually just listening to a number of the points that Anders was making there, and they're very familiar points, actually.
Of course, it should be.
One has to say. So when it comes to the submission of the Office 12 file format to ECMA, we should note that what's happened at ECMA is they formed Technical Committee 45. Its charter is to produce a file format which is completely compatible with Microsoft Office 12 file format. There is no scope for any modification of that file format to support anybody else's needs. That technical committee is limited to ECMA members, and individuals such as open source community members can't join ECMA. That technical committee has no IPR rules that guarantee that the output will be usable by open source communities under the GPL. Our view about ECMA is that ECMA is a very old and faithful part of the standard scene in Europe, but frankly it has no place to play in the standardization of file formats in the 21st century until it settles IPR rules, until it has inclusive membership, and until it draws up technical committee charters that don't rubber stamp the standards from just one of the players. The comment about completely open and about open standard, that's for particular values of open. For general values of open, you actually have to have multiple players involved. You have to have multiple implementations. It's not just me saying that. The IETF, the Internet Engineering Task Force, demands that when it writes up specs, they are multiply implemented before they're standards. And that's a sound policy. The Open Document Format is not promoted by one company. It's promoted by the American Library Association, Arch Linux, the Association of Open Source Vendors of Denmark, the Centre for Advanced Computing of India, Cognitran, Corel.
Okay,
blah blah blah. The spec was written by multiple companies. It is supported and implemented by multiple companies, and it's being promoted by multiple companies. These are all arguments I've heard Microsoft put up before to justify not getting with the program and doing the open standard, but copying its principles. The idea of XML not being extensible to support future capabilities is ridiculous. Mm. If you go look at one of the members of the ODF Alliance, a company called Propylon, they have been able to very successfully extend the ODF FAR format to allow for a legislation creation system for the Parliament in Ireland, so that they're able to add in workflow, change tracking. They've done something incredibly innovative by extending the ODF FAR format. This is about baselines of, that you then innovate on top of. And what Microsoft opposes, it seems, is a standardized baseline where we can all compete fairly.
Okay, but just to try and sum it up, so we have this clash of open standards, which is reminds me of a videotape competition some years back where we had a number of standards, 2-3 standards, and the best one didn't win, some said. But these videotape standards were not open. You had to pay to use them. So it's, but this is a different situation. You have, as I see it, two different standards, both claim to be open, meaning we can read into them, and it's not going to cost money to use them. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
And
okay.
No intellectual property rights in them?
There is intellectual property rights, but we have made a covenant not to sue like Sun did on open
formats.
So your covenant is actually not the same.
There's a competition between open formats, as I hear it, but I'm not sure. Is that right? We get this is very different from the videotape and the railway and all things. We have a competition between two open free standards.
No, actually you don't. You have the anticipated competition. Microsoft so far has presented it to ECMA, which is under deliberation. It might then present it to ISO and probably will. However, it's unclear whether what comes out of that process, should it actually go through that process, is going to be what goes in. OpenOffice.org format, or the ODF, is already nearing completion of the ISO standardization process. Microsoft has yet to begin it. It might take 18 months before it goes in and out. We will be that much ahead. Decisions now have to be made now by many public sector areas and also by corporations. They are gambling, as we would say in the United States, on a pig and a poke. That is to say, on something you don't know anything about. It's not clear what's going to happen once it goes through ISO standardization. But. It's not like ECMA, which is pretty much, a handmaiden into some corporations. It is actually a lot more rigorous.
Okay, but that should put you in the best position if it's a fair competition, right?
Fair competition in what sense? Fair competition for standards? I thought the whole point of a standard was, you know, a standard. So it's the fair competition for implementations on those standards.
Okay.
Yeah. There's actually a technology point that hasn't been brought up yet.
Okay.
As you're asking about technology.
Please do it, but
you know, one of the design points for Open Document was to make sure that anyone could implement it. Now, I wrote a word processor back in the 1980s, and I understand quite a lot about writing word processors. I know that a word processor is expressing a file format is expressing the architecture of the word processor. So what we had to do in creating the Open Document specification at OASIS was create something that could be implemented by many people. The Office 12 XML spec is actually quite extensive and it takes a lot of digesting, but it quickly becomes apparent that it uses Windows Vista concepts such as relationships, it uses Windows concepts such as GDI, and implementing it is actually going to be a substantial task for an open source community, even if they are actually allowed to under intellectual property rules. In other words, it's unlikely that Microsoft will see competition of full implementations of that specification for quite some time after it gets standardized, if it ever does. Mm-hmm. The Open Document has already got an open source code base, so IBM was able to quickly come to market by taking that code base, building a product on it, discard the code base actually, and then get on with the product. There's a distinct difference between the two formats. The Open Document format exists, is easily multiply implemented, exists already as open source. The Office 12 file format only exists as an unreleased Microsoft product, which can't be copied. So anyone else trying to come to market has a significant competitive disadvantage against Microsoft in implementing that. It's the documentation may be open. It's even possible that it's true that it's not encumbered, although I believe it is. But I believe that implementing it is going to be a significant uphill battle. Microsoft is depending on getting through the introduction of Vista and Office 12 over the next 3 years so that it can then lock the market in for another decade. And as long as they can confuse us all into sticking with them through this disruptive phase where they're telling customers to ditch all the old stuff, they'll get away with it.
I think you made your point. We should try and move a little on from technology, so I'm just going to let you say what you wanted to say and then take one question from the audience, and I think it should be you because you were first, only to be fair, but if that's fair, I don't know.
I think we should stop competing on ownership of the user's documents. We should start competing on office suites, making innovative office suites. The great thing about OpenOffice is that you're actually free not to use it. You can take your documents with you and use, for example, KOffice or StarOffice or IBM Workplace when that gets here.
Okay. And you wanted to ask it?
I have a question about what does Microsoft believe will happen with the OpenXML standard that they submit for ECMA if it doesn't get raised for an ISO standard? What is their business plan for them?
I mean, that's purely speculation, so I have no comments on that.
If it doesn't?
The ISO standardization process is much more rigorous than the ECMA. Yeah. So maybe the standard gets settled as an ECMA standard and then be raised for an ISO standard, but the ISO organization tries to make it an ISO standard. But you must have some sort of plan then. Because your only argument here is that it will become an open ISO standard.
Well, I mean it's speculation. We hope it will be an ISO standard, and of course we will act. If it's not going to be that, then it's a new situation. But it will be an ECMA standard anyway.
Okay. I know that many wants to ask questions. I'm trying to move it a little on here, I'm not going to let you. I'm sorry, not at this time. We touched the business angle on this and the economy angle, and it's behind this. It's also a question of winning and losing markets, and I just wanted to hear who's winning and who's losing on this. If it goes this way, that way, who wins, who loses?
Well, I might as well start, because in the case of an open source project, it's never quite clear how much we're winning. We just generally know that we are, in some ways. Every time we get one more user, for example, that's thought of as being an accomplishment, a success. If you ask people like IDC or some other so-called impartial group to evaluate how many people are now using OpenOffice.org versus, say, Microsoft Office, they give us preposterous numbers, which I'm sure that Microsoft and I would agree are ridiculous. Something like 17%, something even higher sometimes, depending on the nation. So in terms of winning, in terms of who has momentum, people can point to something like OpenOffice.org and say quite correctly, incorrectly, that that group is winning. It is gaining more users by the day. They can say that ODF is gaining more users by the day because you can include all the StarOffice users. You can start including the IBM Workplace users. You can start looking at all the other implementations of OpenOffice.org, because what ultimately counts here then is the standard file format. More and more people are using it. More and more nations are decreeing that the public sector, the government, must be using it in order to store their archives. Is this winning? What the numbers are? Who can say exactly? We hope to get more data later.
But you're not a business in that classical sense. You don't make money from this.
I personally don't. My company, CollabNet, does not. However, Stun does. IBM does. They make a lot of money. And they have specific business interests. Every time OpenOffice.org is used, Stun is not making any money, but it makes money off StarOffice usage. It makes money off support that it offers. CERN and others can be offering something along the lines of support. All these companies can make money off of people using the ODF. It is not an altruistic thing.
But it's also about some of the good old three-letter blue company getting back at Microsoft, isn't it?
It's also about, say, Danish companies. Here I put a challenge to the audience here.
Okay.
I have spoken to quite a few people since I've been here. they've both said a couple things. One, it is difficult to get the Danish government and other public sector institutions to start using openoffice.org and ODF. It is difficult because, well, they'll say some other words that I'm not going to repeat, but it is difficult in a nutshell because there is this momentum of the past overriding the possibilities of the future. It is difficult, too, because support, they think, does not quite exist yet in Danish for open document format users, such as openoffice.org. So the challenge I put forth, let's see if in 6 months, or even just 1 year, we can have support organizations in Denmark and Sweden that would be offering support, professional support, for openoffice.org. It's a simple challenge. It's a challenge that's obvious, too, because you can make a lot of money off of this. I don't even see, I find it incredible that I should be stating this as a challenge. Let's see, you make money. That's what I'm saying. Microsoft does it, Sun does it, IBM does it, let's see you do it. Yeah. I am tired of multinational hegemonic companies. I think we all are. Let's see a Danish company stand up and start creating its own support organization for fee for users of openoffice.org. That is a challenge.
Okay, a good one. I think we should let Anders explain going open with this format. What does that do to your business?
Well, basically, I think to understand Microsoft business, we're a business, we make software. We have a lot of partners that build great application on that software. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more than 300,000 developers that have used the Office 2003 XML schemes to do development. And I think that's a good illustration of what openness does to us. It produces a lot of good products from partners that based on the Microsoft technology that does wonders for the customers.
What's that got to do with the file format, though? I mean, you could build those same great products with an open file format if you wanted to.
Well, I guess they have used the Office 2003 file format to build application that integrates Office 2003. So I think that's pretty obvious, and I mean that's pretty cool.
Well, no, I keep on hearing this. I see this find the lady card game going on. You know, here's the queen. Now where is she? That goes. Microsoft has already got whatever it is, 103% market share. you've got to protect all those customers and stop them not becoming customers. And so, therefore, because everyone's using the old technology, it's very important that they use the forthcoming technology. It seems to me that actually you're facing a big challenge because you're introducing Windows Vista, which has got radically different user interfaces, will require retraining. You're migrating all of your customers from binary file formats on Office to XML file formats on Office 12. It seems to me you've got a big exposure in the market over the next 3 years, with everybody is forced to a point of decision about whether they're going to upgrade or whether they're going to switch to an open technology. And it seems to me that we're at a business point where actually suddenly all of Denmark's businesses have got a choice for the first time in 15 years that they're not going to have again for another 10 or 20 years to decide that they're going to use actually an open format for their documents so that they don't suffer from digital Alzheimer's and forget everything. And it seems to me that actually the really important thing here is not about partner ecosystems and implementations. It's about saying people should own their data and have a choice of what software they can use to process it with. That seems to me to be the real issue, and it seems to me that that Open Document creates the same sort of market opportunity that standardizing on electric voltage did for the electricity industry all those
years
ago.
But you already said that, and we'll...
Yes.
Let's try and move on. I have a question here.
Yeah, I have one comment question. I just want to make clear that Microsoft is not going to open up, because making it an ECMA standard is not making it an open standard. ECMA is a very close standards organization where it's open for big industries, and it is not possible for ordinarily interested to actually come in and make an impact there. I am actually involved in the standardization process, I'm involved in the ISO process. And also, if you go from ECMA, I think you can hire ECMA to make some kind of ECMA standard. But going through ISO is much more difficult because they actually are quite open and they can make all kinds of comments. And what you get out of that process is very questionable whether that would be compatible with your Microsoft 12 offering. And that is many changes to the number. My real comment and question for Microsoft was, I remember the old times you supported a number of double performance slides was perfect. You now probably also support XML, HTML, and HTML, and even text formats which are not 100% perfect. Why not also support a double format like OGL, which is maybe...
Okay, that's a question. Let's hear what your answer is.
I think I have answered it, but just okay. To repeat, we don't believe it's a format that our customer demands, and it is not a format that is that will be valid for converting the old binary file formats. Just about ECMA, I think you can have a lot of discussions on standardization bodies. I think if you want to criticize ECMA, that's okay. But I think if you go and look after it and compare it with other standard organization, it's a very good standard organization and has made dozens of good standards.
Okay, but you chose another one. That's the basic fact. Yeah.
We chose a European standardization organization mainly because a lot of the discussion for standards comes from Europe.
Okay. Time is running a little. We need to go into politics. We've been trying to cover technology, pro con, economy. What are the political implications in this? Could we go into that just a little bit?
Well, it must be the politician that started that.
I expected somebody to say that. Well, okay, I will. Well, I think what's important here is that you, as a user and as a public sector, has an openness. All users can get accession to the documents you're using. You need a system also where you can, where you have the full interoperability between both the central authorities and the local authorities. And you need a standard, a real open standard, where you can choose yourself products. You can go on the market. You can choose to develop yourself if you want to it, if you're big enough, if you have the people that can develop, but that you have a real competition that's fair and free. And I think that's a real big importance. The openness is, of course, it's just there. I mean, we fight for a struggle for an open society, so we need software systems that are open also, that doesn't lock anybody out of this. If they're using the wrong platform, for instance. And we need to have this competition not to waste a lot of money, not to be forced into situations where we have to upgrade our systems, even if it's not necessary for the purpose we're using them for.
So if ODF wins 5 years on, will you support Microsoft in attacking ODF? Because now we need some new competition.
Support Microsoft.
Attacking the other format. Just to make sure we have a.
Again, ODF is merely a file format.
In my way, it's the wrong way to see it. Now, I think, well, if we keep it to Denmark for a moment, even if it's a very small part of the world, Then I think it's important that the Danish government chooses ODF now, because we're in a situation where within very short time our local authorities, they're going to invest a lot of money because we have restructured the whole sector. It's very important that we have a document format that's open here, and it is obvious to choose the one that's open. And I think that's what we have to do now, not to have a lot of waste of money and not to have a situation where we are bound up in the old historical situation. So I think that's what we have to do now.
Just to clarify a point, ODF is not a product. It is a file format. Yeah. To Simon's analogy, it's like electricity. It's a way of the way electricity would run in a current. Therefore, competition actually is better with ODF because it's easier to create implementations using ODF. It's because it's open, because things like openoffice.org are open, because it is available for people to see, you can create many implementations. Competition is then among the various implementations. The waste comes into play when you're competing one file format against another file format. Microsoft, should its file format become open, which is very speculative at this point, would still, the Microsoft file format would still be very difficult to create an implementation for. Not easy. Difficult. Easy open office, easy open document format. I'm just trying to clarify it.
We're back to basics.
It's exactly. It is not a product. It is a file format. Yeah. You can have many implementations in competition.
I think we should let Anders answer to that to that statement, and then Anne-Grete, and then one question from the audience.
Could I just say that with the ODF, of course, Microsoft is very welcome. It's not to put them in the jail somewhere, but it's to have, it's to have, I mean, this is politics and it's about doing the best for society, and Microsoft is welcome to use the ODF, of course.
Well, I tell you, it is an open format, so I guess so, but.
Yeah, but sometimes you, it was not a comment to you, it was actually a comment to, to Ralph.
Around policy, my recommendation would be that you stick to the wise policy of technology neutrality, and pick the best products at the best price. I mean, that's basically what's best for the public sector, that's best for society, and that's best for taxpayers.
Okay, I'm going to take a question, and that was, it's going to be Peter.
My name is Peter Topp. A simple question to Microsoft. Say that we end in a situation where governments, i.e. customers, actually come to you and say, we would really like something like that, right? Says that we would really like you to support ODF. Earlier on, you said that we don't think our customers actually need this or demand it, want it. Say that government sectors actually come in and say, please, Microsoft, could you support that? Would that change your standpoint? You're saying that you don't have customer demand. Say that we actually stand up and say, we want it from you. And actually, I'll start saying that we want it.
Well, will you buy Office 2007?
Maybe. It sounds like that.
Okay. That's a good quote. I think we are a commercial company, and we listen to the customers. And of course, if there's demand, then we probably will support it.
How much money do you need?
Just a moment, please.
What I can say, it will not be supported in Office 2007.
But maybe later.
I don't know, but I mean, we put new stuff into our programs all the time.
Okay. So Simon, you wanted to make a point?
Just to follow on from that, you know, I wonder how much demand you need. There's 13 nations around the world now who are considering standardizing an open document. The state of Massachusetts came with a very non-partisan statement saying they wanted the file format from any vendor. Will you supply it? So how much demand do you need from the market before you'll implement it?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a question.
good
question, that's it.
Well, of course, that's difficult to answer. I can't tell you what kind of demand that will tip the decision. But what I can say is that we're pretty sure that there will be third parties converters. So one opportunity for customers is to use them in office, and then the functionality will be there that you ask for.
So you say that in spite of the widespread global customer demand from governments for OpenDocument, which undeniably exists, it's not going to be implemented in Office 2007 or Office 12 rather. So isn't this just about trying to get people over into your new world, locked into the new file format, so that you can then control the market?
No, it's not.
Once again,
it's not.
Okay, so I don't know. We are rounding off in about maybe 5 minutes from now. So I don't know if the questions that I asked you to think about, did you ask them?
Yes, several times. Yeah.
Okay, so several times.
Repeat. They haven't been answered yet.
On and on. Okay, so just one final round, I think. If you can make a very short statement, how do you think this debate will, if we repeat this in 10 years, what will we be talking about? What will it look like 2016? Just a quick look into the future. Yes, Søren?
Well, back in the days before the Great Belt Bridge was built, we talked a lot about here in Denmark. Do we really need that bridge? Do we really need that infrastructure? But we don't talk about that today. And I think that answers your question.
So, in 2016, you think that...
ODF is here and we're not discussing it.
Okay. What about you, Luis?
Subversion of that. Let's imagine something that everyone's liked to imagine. Say that Google supports ODF. Say that Yahoo ends up supporting it. Okay, and say that everyone who's signed a contract now to renew a contract with Microsoft Office then is confronted with the spectacle of all their users accessing ODF documents on the web. Okay? So all these people who've just signed contracts will have lost effectively all this money because people will be writing documents, will be exchanging documents, and they'll all be ODF documents. 10 years from now, I will be delighted to see that OpenOffice.org exists as a memory only. I will be ecstatic to see that people are just using entirely on the web and are using ODF. I see the evolution of Office Suites moving very, very quickly. So fast, in fact, that Microsoft has to try to persuade you that only by remembering the past can you forget the future.
Okay, thank you. Simon, just brief. 10 years on.
I think there's two possible futures. One future is a future where governments around the world have realized that it's actually their game to call, and they've decided that they're going to vote in favor of protecting their corporate memory for future generations of historians by using a truly open format. The other is a world where in 10 years' time, Microsoft will once again be coming to a nexus and redesigning all their architectures, and we'll be having the debate once again about whether we want to get out of the lock-in now we're at this 10-year junction point.
Okay. Hans, what do you think?
Well, I think 10 years' time is extremely, extremely far in the future when you work in the IT business. But one thing I'm pretty sure of is that XML will still be a cornerstone in exchanging documents and exchanging data. I think technology evolves extremely fast, and I could close by saying that you will see Windows Vista comes very soon, and Office 2007. That's just the beginning. I think it's evolving extremely fast, okay. And it's going to be very exciting.
But exactly where we are in 10 years, you don't.
I think that's purely speculation, yeah.
But a nice
And you can always dream about your products will live and have a good market share, but who knows?
Yeah, that's right.
It depends totally on whether the people who really struggle for openness are strong enough to win this battle. I think that's the story as it is. I mean, we're in a society where a lot of doors are closing and big companies are closing doors for society also. It's not only politicians, it's also big companies. And it's really a tough struggle, and I just say, I really hope that openness will win, both for this part of it, the communication, but also broader. We need open societies and we need open standards. That's part of it. But to predict it, wow. You never know whether it's wishful thinking. Yeah, well, I go for the wishful thinking because why else be a politician?
Okay. So this about concludes it. I think I will just leave space for closing remarks. You get to make one point if you want, only if you want. You don't. Then we take a question.
Yeah, what really puzzles me is that everybody in the panel speaks about openness and performance, and that's your main objective in the things that you're working with in technology. And I would like to ask especially Louis, Simon, and Simon, and Anders, what will you recommend the public to do if your specific file format is not adopted as an ISO standard, since you are for open standards? What is your best recommendation for, say, governments in Denmark or other public offices to do to work for open standards?
Okay, so if...
And that's both OEF and the Open XML.
So if the other format wins, what are you going to...
No, if your own format doesn't get adopted for an ISO standard, then it's eventually not an open standard. And since you endorse open standards, what shall the public do then?
Okay, let's hear quick answers to that.
I'll start just by the very simple statement that open document format is already an open standard as validated by the OASIS International Group. Mm-hmm. And that's an impartial standardizing body to which, as Simon pointed out, many members are, many large companies are members and nations too. So it's already there. But say that didn't happen, I would still be advocating open standards. OpenOffice.org is open source, meaning that it's free to be manipulated by anyone. Although, of course, patches and so on and so forth aren't always accepted. But we can adopt other formats. The open standard debate is a live debate. It is an important debate. All that we've stated here is true. Even Microsoft recognizes that to some extent. So I think the open standard is an important point.
Okay, Anders, do you want to answer?
Well, I think I can repeat my answer. I won't speculate in that. You could say that there will be an ECMA standard, and I think that would be good. But I think it's speculation.
Okay. It's chairing this is a little difficult because I know if I ask another question, I'll get another long answer.
I need to contribute this debate because, I've been doing open standards for a very long time now. I was involved in OSI standards in the 80s, and I've been involved in W3C and standards, and I've helped start standards bodies. And, you know, just because something is in a standards body, it doesn't make it open or a standard. You can tell when something's open and a standard because there are multiple implementations of it in the marketplace. And I don't think it really matters which becomes an ISO standard. The only reason ISO is a goal is because there are governments for whom that is the final hurdle for approval. But truthfully, what makes something an open standard is that it is multiply implemented and can be implemented by any newcomer to the market in a way that is economically feasible. And I would recommend whichever format finally gets ISO approval. I have no idea which it will be because I know actually enough about ECMA to know that it's a pretty head-to-head race. the deal is that it really doesn't matter if it's a standard at OASIS or at ECMA. Microsoft's been manipulating OASIS for years over web services standards.
This is not just
attacking ECMA. Standards bodies perform a particular role. Whether something is an open standard as far as the government is concerned, there is the formal standard, but the pragmatic standard is the one that really matters, and that is, can you economically have a choice of implementations in an open market? And if you can, you're dealing with a market that's standardized. And if you can't, then you're dealing with a market that's monopolized. And I would recommend that governments focus on having a diversity of choice in a marketplace, whatever happens with the standardization here.
That's a good liberal business kind of looking at things.
I agree.
And I think we should close here, I'm sorry. By noting this and saying that maybe in, let's see, just three, five years.
Next year we can meet
next
again.
Next year, yeah, meet again. Let's see what has happened. Should we do that? Okay, I want to thank you all, and you,
and thank
for being
you.
Here, and thank you, team. Yes.